This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Hey, it's DougOster.com. It's his show. It's his hour. It's the Organic Gardener, and he has got his opening monologue in just moments. But I have to do what I do to begin the program, kind of like the studio warm-up. 10th caller right now, 412-922-1020, wins a $25 gift certificate from the great folks at Sorgles out in that wonderful community of Wexford. And first come, first serve, busy time of year for you gardeners. If you have a question for Doug, get on the line and give us a call, 866-391-1020. Doug, great to have you back. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for warming up the crowd for me, Rob.
Absolutely. It's so massive, it's spilling into the parking lot.
Be sure to tip your waitresses, right?
Absolutely.
All right, lots going on today. Later on today, Rob Kruljack from the Davy Tree Expert Company will join us. We'll be talking for our Talking Trees segment. It's all about something called girdling roots, and we'll talk about lots of other things and take your tree questions, too. That's after the 7:30 break. You know, I was walking around in the garden yesterday, and when it gets busy like this at the start of the season, sometimes you can actually miss something that's blooming, and I just grabbed the last of the lily of the valley. Oh, those little tiny white flowers. I have some pink ones, too, and they smell like heaven. And I found a couple left that had some fragrance in them. And then I was walking around, and I was looking at this crab apple. I've been working on this crab apple for 2 years in the woods, which I really never saw before for some reason. And I've been trimming it up over these 2 seasons to make it look nice. And I think I missed the blooms completely this year. And so I was walking around in the garden. I went into the vegetable garden, and I have these bunching onions in there that I just love, and they're starting to put on seed heads, and so I like to knock off the seed heads so the energy goes into making the bulbs. And so I had the lily of the valley in one hand, the onion in the other, and I just got transfixed by the garden, and before you knew it, I was chewing on a lily of the valley, and it was really not tasty at all, and I was hoping I wasn't poisoning myself. So stay awake when you're in the garden. That's your lesson for today's show. I'm still not planting my tomatoes or other tender crops until Thursday at the earliest. That's just my rule, the 20th at the absolute earliest, and I will not plant all of them. I'm going to plant a few, and peppers I'm not going to put in until even later. They love warm soil. I know we're going to get 80 degrees coming up, 60s at night, but I want that soil to warm up. I've been getting lots of pictures from people showing me that they've had tomatoes out already, and some already have early blight or a septoria leaf spot. Tomatoes hate cold weather, hate cold, rainy weather. And so you could probably get away with it, but I always like to wait until the soil warms up. But disease-free tomatoes, for me, there's a bunch of things I do. First is mixing up the plantings, just starting with a few early and continue to plant, believe it or not, all the way through July 4th. My last planting of tomatoes is July 4th, and those are early varieties like Sun Gold, Early Girl, Red Racer, 4th of July, anything that puts on a tomato quick. I'm telling you, the later you plant them, now you got to have some in early. You want the first tomato of the year. But by planting later, they have the weather conditions that they love. The other things I'm doing is, you know, mulching right away to try and keep any fungal spores from splashing up, removing some bottom leaves to have more distance between the mulch and the plant, and giving them lots of room and lots of air. If you don't plant everything the same day, you have a great chance, a better chance of something really thriving and surviving. That's the way I'm doing it anyway. So my series of gardening classes, free virtual organic gardening classes sponsored by Farm to Table of Western Pennsylvania, continue. Thursdays at 4:30. This week it's gardening with kids and all sorts of tips about planting tomatoes and peppers along with other tender crops. I'll talk all about my horizontal tomato planting that I love. I'm telling you, go see the show at FIPS, The Hidden Life of Trolls, the Summer Flower Show. It is spectacular, and especially for kids, you know, talking trolls and trolls making noise, and it is a cool show. My trip to Croatia coming up in July is starting to fill up. Looks like we're working our way out of this pandemic. People have been signing up. I've got some spots left. We're on a private yacht. You know, of all the times for a terrible thing like what we've been through to happen, it's when I'm trying to get a trip to Croatia. I've waited 3 years to put this in it. And it's just, you know, it's just been crazy with what's going on. But we're going to be cruising the Adriatic Sea on our own private yacht for 7 days of the 12. We're going to see all the great sights of Croatia. It's going to be amazing. All the details are at DougOster.com. And next Sunday, this is the 18th annual Doug Oster Plant Swap and Garden Hullabaloo at Sorgles. Next Sunday, 11 a.m., we trade plants, and we've had so much fun doing it over the years. I've actually done it, 21 years, but 18 where we can all get together publicly. And besides swapping plants, I'm giving away Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top Tomatoes. That's one of my favorite tomatoes, big and meaty, and I've been giving that tomato away since about 2000. It is a great tomato, and I've got a lot of rare plants that I'm going to lottery, or we'll figure some way to get rid of them. It's next Sunday, 11 a.m. Be there at 11. We will not start 1 minute before 11 a.m., and we will be done at 12 noon. It is a whirlwind. It is so much fun. Thank you, Randy Sorgel, for letting us do our plant swap there next Sunday. If you want some daffodils, I've got a friend that is selling a property. It's going to be converted to something, townhouses probably, and the landscape is filled with beautiful daffodils. It's in Cranberry. He's inviting anyone who's interested to come dig them up. All you need to do is text him. The number and more information is at DougOster.com. He didn't want me to put that all out on the air. If you live out east and you would like some free vegetable plants, my friend John Wassel of Jeanette in Westmoreland County, he's been giving them away for quite a while. He wants to help people and loves to grow plants, and he's got way more than he can use. This is one of the reasons I love gardeners. John donates most of his plants to worthy causes and grows thousands of seedlings. He did spend $180 on seeds, but he doesn't want you to think he's selling plants. If you need plants, you can contact him. It's all at DougOster.com, how to get a hold of him, and it's contactless. He'll just leave the plants out for you. But if you do have a little extra money, just give him a little bit of donation, but he just really wants to make gardeners happy. Great guy. And then this week's story for The Green Voice, Chris Kosin and Josh Koshar have created this urban oasis in Lawrenceville called Hallowed Ground Homestead. It is amazing. They have a bunch of cool plants for free, or they're asking for donations for Grow Pittsburgh and a prospective community garden at West Penn Hospital. You should see this garden and get some plants. You know, again, they'll take some donations, but they'll give you some free plants too. They got a ton of plants and some really cool stuff. You can read all about it at DougOster.com. And if you have a gardening question, can't get through, or too shy to call, Again, go to DougOster.com. I answer every question as soon as we get done here with the show. But let's talk today. Give us a call at 866-391-1020. All right, Rob, are we ready for a little bit of a break, or do you want to chit-chat a little bit with
No. We're all good. I'm going to give you a chance to rest up those vocal cords, because I'm sure it's going to be a busy hour for you. Already have Sandy in export. I want to talk daffodils. So whatever is on your mind, give Doug a call right now, 866-391-1020. Rob Krul, Jack, bottom of the hour, Dravy Tree, Talking Tree. So stay right where you're at. Next hour, Chipped Ham, Rest in Peace, Joe and Frank, then TC, Heffron, Tillotson, Your Money and You, and the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. Pens, round one, game one at noon, PPG Paints Arena against the Islanders. And how about those Pirates? A thrilling win for them last night in the bottom of the ninth. All of that in our Coons Quality Food Sports Reports in just minutes on Rob Pratt Sunday. Odyssey 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDKA. Good morning. Rob Krul, Jack, Davey Tree, talking trees in 15 minutes. But right now, as promised, first stop is export. Here's Sandy talking daffodils on KDKA. Hey, Sandy, good morning.
Hi, Doug. I have a question about daffodils. I am beyond upset. Yesterday, the man who cuts my grass mowed down a 60-foot row of daffodils in my front yard. Is there anything I can do to counteract what that is going to do as far as they're not being able to do their own photosynthesis?
Yeah, I would fertilize. That's all you can do. I would get there's something called bulb tone. That's bulb, like a, you know, daffodil bulb, and
yeah,
tone, T-O-N-E. And I would put that on there. All is not lost. It is frustrating, though, isn't it?
I'm beyond upset. Well, for the fertilizer, I'm assuming that's a high potassium number for the bulbs?
Yeah, it's granular, and it's formulated for the bulbs. It has all three, but bulb tone will give them what they want. Because what's happening with that foliage, that's what gives them their energy, is that foliage dies back. Now, there's probably 2 or 3 inches left on there, hopefully, which will help.
Oh.
As that turns yellow, that brings that energy back in the bulb. But by putting on that granular bulb tone, that's going to help a lot. That's going to, you know, all the bulb needs is some kind of form of energy. And so all is not lost. But, tell me, when did you see it? When did you see that this happened? You must have freaked out.
Oh, well, I did. It was right after he finished mowing the grass, I walked out and looked, and my daffodils were gone.
Oh, I can't believe it. And so, was he gone, or did you yell at him?
He was gone. And I intend to go out and buy a large supply of bulb tone today. Then,
good idea. You know, look around, because a lot of times they'll only have it in the little bag. You're going to need a big bag, and it's not expensive, but you're going to need a big bag of it. And so, instead of just, you know, driving out there, call around a little bit. Although I'm telling you, the nurseries are crazy busy. I might wait till tomorrow. I've never seen anything like this. Gardening was big, but now it is huge because of the pandemic. So get that bulb tone, get it on those the remaining foliage, and I think you'll be okay. You know, daffodils are pretty tough. Give them a little bit of that food, and you'll be okay. Thanks very much for your call, and good luck.
All right, let's go to Joy in the North Hills. Hi, Joy.
Yeah, hi, guys. Doug, I was at, a couple weeks ago, at May Day garden thing up in Franklin. My daughter lives up that way. And I found two nice little coleus plants. And they were nice, and the color was nice and dark and just was what I was looking for. And so in the next week, we planted them. We had them inside. You know, we left them outside, and then we brought them in at night for about a week, and then we put them in the garden. And since then, within a short time, they started fading. We watered them and everything. It started fading. And was that not wise to plant those yet, or what about coleus?
Yeah, coleus is very tender crop, these cold nights just slow it down, but it is a tough plant. You know, we're at a period right now where I think you're going to be okay. I'm not planting my tender crops yet. I always wait. You know, for me, May 20th is the very earliest for anything that can take frost because, you know, over the years you kind of learn 90% of the time May 20th is fine, but every once in a while you might get a frost 10 days down the road. You know, my mother always said Memorial Day was the day you plant all these tender crops. So I think you'll be okay. You know,
yeah, I wasn't aware that that was a tender crop, but anyway, I did it anyway, and I know it was cold some nights, and I thought, well, maybe it was the sun, and who knows? It almost looked like they were sort of drying up a little, even though I said we were.
Well, you know what? Another thing that can happen is that if that plant just came from another area or was not what we call hardened off, that transition to growing in the ground can be difficult. And so that's what you might be seeing, too, just it getting ready and making this transition from the nice, cushy greenhouse out to the harsh environment of our garden. Coleus, for the most part, is a pretty tough plant once it gets established. And you probably have to baby it along for a little bit. Don't overwater it. You know, if the soil is moist there, let it do its thing, and it'll catch on.
Okay, I didn't know if it would come back or not. It's raining now, right now, in the North Hills.
Oh, good, good. That's good news. Yeah, I'm looking out the window, and I'm seeing a little bit of gray skies there. That's a good thing. And
okay, I was just wondering if there was hope for them.
I think there is hope for them. You don't remember the variety, do you, off the top of your head?
No, I don't.
Okay. They'll be all right. You know, I don't think it's going to get cold enough to mess with them, to tell you the truth. But as always, I'm waiting. That's just what I do. Thanks very much for your call.
You.
Good luck with that coleus. Coleus is a really cool plant. Good plant for, shady locations. I grow a lot of coleus. I really love that plant.
Tonight's
all right, Rob, what do you think?
We're going to take a break, but I want to tell folks, and especially to our last caller, Joy, nothing to fear. The coldest night of the week is going to be tonight, 49. Then it's going to get a whole lot better. We'll be in the 80s by later in the week. And Brian Shaw earlier today, Katie Kay said, as I said, once you get to that point, the switch goes on and it's all good. And he believes that Wednesday or Thursday, we could stay at 80 for some time. So better days ahead. Just don't lose focus. Be happy and get out there in the garden and do what you do. Listen, you got to be thinking about your trees, too. That's why every other Sunday during the season, we have the good folks from Davey Tree here. And coming up, Rob Kruljack, right after the news at 7:30, talking trees with Doug. So I hope you'll stay with us for that. We also have that great gift certificate from Janoski's to be giving away to possibly you within the next couple of minutes as well. But Boris Shiloff is waiting in the wings with the news at 7:30. So let's get a quick break in here. We'll come back on the other side. Don't forget, next hour, Chip Tam Recipes, Joe and Frank, Dentisi, the Coons Cooking Hour, Heffron Tillotson, Your Money and You, and then a lot of stuff, Pens, Pirates, and more today, Steelers too, on the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show at 11 a.m. Rob Pratt Sunday, Odyssey, 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDKA. Yeah, he is, Davey Tree, Rob Kruljack, talking trees moments away. But first, 10th caller wins that incredible $25 gift certificate from my friends at Janoski's in Clinton, 412-922-1020.
We're joined today by Rob Kruljack from the Davey Tree Expert Company. Rob, how are you doing this morning?
Doing well, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing great. Before we get into our main topic, is there anything specific you've been seeing? How has the season been going so far?
Pretty good. We actually just got a text here, a group text from one of our arborists this morning. He has some black aphids on his shrubbery. So we can keep an eye out for those. They're, you know, about the size of maybe a pencil eraser, and they're active right now, so keep your eyes open for those.
So today's topic is girdling roots. What does that mean?
Oh, girdling roots. We want a tree root to grow radially out from the base of the tree into the soil. But sometimes when plants are like root bound in the container when they go in and then you plant them, the roots are already growing in like a circular pattern around the outside of the container. And those roots can continue to grow and eventually, you know, grow around the trunk of the tree itself and can strangle it. So a girdling root, it can be a big problem. It can cause tree decline and mortality.
When you plant a tree, and like let's just say it's in a container, and we pull it out of that container, how do you know how much of those roots to kind of break up, or what are you supposed to do so that you can avoid those girdling roots?
Yeah, I actually planted three fruit trees in my orchard yesterday, all container plants, two plums and a peach. And what I do is I take my pruning shears, my hand snips, and I just make several cuts up the sides of that, you know, root ball, about, you know, every inch, every 2 inches around the outside, and then across, like, the top edge of the root ball. But I also pull off material from the top of that root ball so I find where the actual trunk becomes roots, and make sure there's no girdling roots, you know, right around that area starting especially. So, you know, snipping up the sides every couple inches and, you know, across the bottom. You know, you don't have to go in real deep, just, you know, maybe the half the length of your blade on your pruning shears would be good.
You know, I think it's always worrisome for gardeners to do that. You know, I think, you know, you have to be kind of brutal with it to get that out of there. Now, when you plant your fruit trees, what was the soil like? Is it decent soil, or what's it look like?
Yeah, I've been adding wood chips to this area for quite some time, and I had a friend with a big rototiller on his tractor come over and, you know, really turn it up before I started planting, so it's quite good. I'm really lucky. I was actually pretty happy with what I've seen yesterday when I dug these holes, so yeah.
I hate to tell you this, but we have a saying on this show. It's called, peaches will break your heart.
Yes, I know. But it's my wife's ambition, and I can't say that I'm, I don't know. We're giving it a shot.
Oh, that sounds good. Anything else about girdling roots that we should know that we need to
keep your eyes up? You know, if you're out in the lawn or out in the property and you're looking at your trees, a lot of times on older trees, you'll see a root that kind of looks out of place because it's growing up and over one of the buttressing roots at the base of the tree. That's also a girdling root. And, you know, they can be cut, but you have to be very careful, and you have to know when it's okay to cut them and when it's not. I mean, it takes experience, and maybe, you know, someone from Davey could come out and take a look, because it's, you know, it's never really a good idea to cut roots, but sometimes it's the only option or you're going to lose the tree regardless.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't know if people know, but an arborist from Davey Tree will come for free and take a look and then give you a plan, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'll make recommendations to treat that sort of situation. Or if we can't even see the root flare, we have a tool called an air spade that we use. It's basically a giant air gun, and it allows us to excavate and remove soil and material from the base of the tree without injuring the roots or the root flare. And that'll let us see if there are any of these girdling roots that have formed. Again, we mulch volcanoes, Doug. You know that they're super common when you have mulch volcanoes, because the root system grows up into the mulch ring as opposed to down into the soil where we really want those roots to grow. So that's one other reason mulch volcanoes are, you know, the bane of my existence.
I know. You know, gosh, Rob, we talk about mulch volcanoes a lot, you know, and just, isn't it just the worst thing you can do is build that mulch up around the bottom of that tree? What do you say? We want it to look like a donut, not a volcano. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And don't let that mulch get up right against the trunk either. You know, keep it at half an inch away from the actual bark of the tree. You don't need it to be touching it at all.
Thing that was interesting that you said when you're planting a tree, mm-hmm. is pulling that off the top. Sometimes there's a lot of material on the top, you know, in a potted a tree, to get it down to where you can see that root flare, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, the when you're planting a tree and you're always told you want to keep the top of the root ball up a little bit out of, you know, out of the actual grade you're planting into, but it can be misleading if the top of that root ball has an inch or two of material on top of it. You know, when they dig these trees at the nursery, the tree spade pushes into the earth, but a lot of times it pushes soil up on top of that root ball, and then they burlap it and, you know, package it. So when you get your new tree and you're ready to plant it, step one, get rid of that burlap on the very top of that root ball or in the container, take it out, and pull back that loose soil on the top till you actually find that transition between tree trunk and roots where they start. Then keep that an inch or so above the grade you're planting into?
You know, I was planting a dogwood out at a park for an event, and when we started on the top of the tree, I seriously took off maybe 2 inches off the top of what was in that, which is, to me, that was surprising that there was that much on top until you could finally see that root flare.
Yeah, and if you would have planted that without doing, you know, that exercise, that tree would have been planted too deep. Girdling roots would have formed in that upper portion of that loose soil up there, and the tree would have, you know, eventually, you know, most likely would have just strangled itself and declined.
So these fruit trees you put in, is this part of an orchard, or is this the start of something?
Yeah, part of an orchard I've been putting into my property. We got apples, Asian pears, peaches, plums. We're looking for a cherry tree next, so and hopefully get some production here in the next year.
I think another one of my friends has a saying that says, peaches will break your heart.
Yeah.
I hate to keep harping on the peaches, but
yeah.
When they come in, though, nothing can compare to a freshly picked peach, in my opinion.
Hopefully we'll get to experience that.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Have you seen anything else out there that we should know about right now?
Woolly adelgid, of course, is all over the place, so keep your eyes open for that. Looking for right now, it looks like you have snow on your hemlock tree. It looks very out of place, and if so, you should certainly get a hold of us because it's easily treated, and if left unattended, it will, you know, kill your hemlock. So
I've got it all over, Rob. I've got it all over my hemlocks, and the next time that my arborist comes out, you know, this is becoming. It used to be twice a year. Now I think it's going to be 4 or 5 times a year. But hey, hang in there. I want to talk to you when we come back from the break. For more information about Davy Tree, or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davy.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call the experts from Davy Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
Back with more in just a moment. All right, here we go, folks. Final segment of The Organic Gardener himself, Doug Oster, and Rob Kruljack back for that final segment now, Davy Trees. Go ahead, Rob. Doug, take it away, bud.
All right, Rob. So what else you seeing out there? What's going on with trees and shrubs?
One other thing I just thought of here, Doug, was I have a bunch of boxwood, you know, planted in my garden at home, and they're all healthy. Ton of new growth on them this year, and I thought they were doing perfectly fine. And my wife calls and says, "Rob, you know, come out here and take a look at this." And I'm looking, and the leaf miners had hatched, and or I guess the nymph form. So it looks like tiny little orange mosquitoes flying all around my boxwood. So apparently they were in there. So a lot of times you can hear them when they're active here earlier in the season. And then, you know, the next stage would be the flying stage. So that's something to keep your eyes open for because they can really do a number on your boxwood shrubs. So
wait a minute. Hold on here. So your wife is telling the arborist what's going on with your shrubs?
Yes.
What's going on with that?
You know, she's very observant, Doug, very observant. sometimes you don't see what's right under your nose.
Yeah, I believe me. And you're looking at trees and shrubs 8 hours a day. I can completely understand that. Hey, let's talk just a little bit about some cool trees that people could put in. This is a pretty good time to plant trees, would you say?
Yeah, the weather's still nice and cool. We're still getting some decent precipitation here. We're still planting trees right now. Our lot right now looks like a nursery with all the trees we have to install for our clients. It's still a perfect time to get that tree in the ground, get established. But, you know, you have to take care of it, you know, keep it watered here throughout the summer. That's why
especially if, you know, if you have a tree that you just recently planted and you look at the weather forecast and you see, 80s, and no rain, how often should you water a newly planted tree?
Daily, just a slow trickle out of the hose, maybe 15 minutes just to saturate that soil. But that certainly wouldn't hurt it. Now, of course, you want to make sure your drainage is okay and you didn't plant it just into a clay pot in the ground, you know, because too much water could be just as bad as not enough. So, you know, you want to monitor it. But, yes, if we're not getting rain daily, 15 minutes just to saturate that soil, give it a good drenching.
So give me an idea of a couple cool trees that might be a little bit off the beaten path, if you could think of any, that would work good in our area. Now, I know that, you know, you've got to look at the site, whether it's sun or shade or an understory tree, but is there anything that comes to mind that you think of that, like, you think, gosh, I wish somebody would plant one of these?
You know, I like to look at the landscape and suggest plants that you may not already have. You know, you don't want to, you know, you might love oak trees, and, you know, oak trees the best tree. But, you know, if you already have a bunch of oak trees, you know, try a sycamore, try a hickory, try a hackberry, try something that, you know, so you don't just have a monoculture of the same tree in your landscape.
You know, we got about a minute left. What is a hackberry?
Hackberry is a native Western Pennsylvania tree. It does well. It has a real furrowed bark, like a real rough bark to it. Almost elmish in shape.
Cool.
Pyramidal to arching branches. So they're I don't know how the best to describe them, actually. Just look it up. But yeah,
sounds good. That's a tree you like, though, right?
Yeah. Right.
All right, Rob, I appreciate all the information. And for more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call those experts from Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE, 855-982-8733. Now, I'll be answering questions after the show. Just go to DougOster.com. And remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
There he goes to the hammock for a little snooze in the garden, Mr. Doug Oster. Job well done. Thanks again to Rob Kruljack and the folks from Davey Tree Talking Trees. Back on Rob Pratt Sunday with Doug and I, 2 weeks from today, Memorial Day weekend. Stay with us. News Today with Boris and then Chipped Ham Recipes. Joe and Frank Dantisi. It's that tradition that is the Coons Cooking Hour. KDKA. Good morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.